couple of years. The dairy industry really wants to work to continue to protect that current high level of consumer trust and do that again through the National Dairy Animal Wellbeing Initiative and the work of the National Dairy Animal Wellbeing Coalition. Who is the coalition? This is a frequently asked question and a question that is sometimes more difficult to answer than some of the others. There is no formal organization. There is no formal structure. There are no officers. The coalition contains representatives of the industry who have come together voluntarily to try and build consumer trust and confidence in dairy well-being. It represents, as I said before, all facets of the industry. It includes producers, processors, co-ops, allied industry, representatives from top academic institutions, associations, food companies, have all been part of the discussion and have all been at the table. But there is no formal organization. There is no formal structure. There are no dues. There are no officers. Coalition members all have been driven by the same objective, and that, again, is to provide assurance that the dairy industry is meeting its ethical obligation to provide appropriate care for dairy animals. And that's been the primary driver. That's been the primary motivation behind getting all of those folks to come to the table and have a discussion, is to help the chain be able to demonstrate that the industry is committed to doing what's right, and we have processes in place to make that happen. The coalition then broke into four specific groups and took the work and divided it into four sections to try to make it more manageable. Producer outreach, principles and guidelines, industry outreach, and fundraising. And I would like to recognize and thank the co-chairs of each of those committees. Joan Baer and Francis Lechner led the producer outreach efforts. David Pelzer and Donna Menning are in charge of industry outreach. Jamie Jonker, who you'll hear from momentarily, as well as John Rosenow, co-chaired the Principles and Guidelines Committee. Fundraising was headed by Kevin Griswold and Paul Roby, with significant assistance by Pete Giacomini and Roger Larson. So we want to thank the co-chairs for their dedication and their efforts on each one of those subgroups to help move that process forward. You can see the very long list of organizations that have participated in the coalition. Obviously, that font size is very difficult to read on the screen, but all of that is available on the dairywellbeing.org website as well. But the point of this slide is simply to reflect the diversity and the strength of organizations who have been at the table, that this has been a producer-led effort, but the entire dairy chain has been involved in the process and been engaged and provided input and feedback throughout the entire process. Why is it important? Why are we involved in doing this? Again, we want to be able to demonstrate the dairy industry's commitment to do the right thing regarding animal well-being. It provides customers, policymakers, and other stakeholders the assurance that the dairy industry is meeting its ethical obligation to care for the animals. That's really what this is all about, and that's the best way that the industry has to earn the social license and protect its freedom to operate by demonstrating it's committed to doing the right thing, and it has programs in place to make sure that happens. How will it work? Well, this now starts to get a little more interesting because this has been a part that's been a little more challenging to explain to people how the principles and guidelines work and how it all comes together. And if you haven't picked up a copy of the continuous improvement cycle, Shelley, you want to just, if anybody doesn't have it this yet, you're going to want this as we walk through it. So raise your hand if you don't have a copy of this, because this will be really helpful to understand. The coalition drafted broad principles and guidelines that any dairy animal welfare program, well-being program, should include to meet the ethical obligation to provide for the well-being of dairy animals. The goal is to have a uniform national umbrella of principles and guidelines, recognizing that how those get implemented on the farm may vary by region, may vary by co-op, may vary by program. Recognizing that one of the great strengths of the dairy industry is the diversity in co-ops, regional organizations, and associations. So not trying to supplant or replace the individual strength of those organizations, but trying to create some kind of uniform assurance through overarching principles and guidelines that the industry is committed to doing the right thing. It is not an on-farm welfare program. We'll talk about the role of on-farm welfare programs and well-being programs. This is not an on-farm well-being program. These are principles and guidelines that any welfare program or well-being program should incorporate, but it's not an on-farm well-being program. The goal is to have producers do two things. One, endorse this concept, endorse the principles and guidelines, and then participate in an on-farm well-being program, either through their co-op or their milk marketer or an independent company that has an on-farm well-being program. So let's look at this from a customer perspective and think about how it might actually work. You've got three customers, each of whom may have some questions about dairy animal well-being. Okay? Gee, I've heard about this issue, I'm concerned about this issue, but I really don't know much about the topic. I'm not sure exactly where I should get my information. Customer number one, as you can see, buys some product from a co-op that already has an on-farm welfare program. They also buy some product from an independent milk marketer that doesn't have a welfare program. Customer number two buys all their products from co-ops. One co-op has a program, one co-op does not. Customer number three currently buys all their product from a co-op and the independent milk marketer, neither of which have a well-being program. So you've got different customers, each of whom have concerns about the issue, buying from different parts of the channel, some of whom already have well-being programs, some of whom do not. So this co-op already has the programs established, so producers one and two sell all of their milk to this co-op. They participate in the on-farm well-being program. So customer one has part of their questions answered through that program. They also buy product from this independent milk marketer. This independent milk marketer decided it wasn't worth their time and investment to create their own well-being program. So they've contracted with an independent company to provide a dairy well-being program that now is part of the best management practices for producers who sell to that milk marketer. Producer number four sells some of their milk to that milk marketer, but also to this co-op. This co-op is partnering with a state organization that has a dairy well-being program that producers number five and six participate in. So at this point, all of the milk that's going to market is coming from farms that participate in an on-farm welfare program, this one through the co-op, this one from an independent organization that has a program, and this from a state organization that has a program. The goal of the National Dairy Animal Well-Being Initiative is to provide some level of umbrella principles and guidelines that all of those programs will incorporate so that the customers aren't put in a position of having to evaluate the technical merits of program one, program two, or program three. They can simply ask or know whether or not the program is consistent with the overarching umbrella principles and guidelines of the National Dairy Animal Well-Being Initiative. So again, the goal was to leverage the strength of the existing programs to provide the flexibility for state and regional organizations to implement their own programs and to allow the marketplace to address the issue in the most efficient way possible while still providing that overarching level of assurance that customers and consumers are looking for. So that's really kind of how this comes together. The timetable, the initiative was launched last year when we introduced the draft principles and guidelines. They were open for review through July 1st of this year. The Principles and Guidelines Committee then took the feedback that was received from producers and other organizations, recommended a final draft for approval. The coalition co-chairs met a few weeks ago, approved the final principles and guidelines. You have a copy of those before you today. And Jamie Jonker from the National Milk Producers Federation, one of the co-chairs of the Principles and Guidelines Committee, will be reviewing the principles and guidelines here momentarily. How will success be measured? How do we know whether or not this program is actually working? First and foremost, we'll know by our ability to continue to maintain high levels of consumer trust and confidence, and that the dairy producers are given their social license and freedom to operate by demonstrating their commitment to doing what's right by participating in a program that's consistent with the principles and guidelines of the National Dairy Animal Well-Being Initiative. We've had terrific industry support before we even launched last year and made the public announcement. The concept was endorsed by the majority of milk coming to market in the United States. So we've got significant support for the concept. Now it's going to be a matter of taking the principles and guidelines, applying them to on-farm programs, having those be implemented, and that will occur over a period of time. It's also important to understand and recognize that this is a process, not an event, and it will take a period of time for principles and guidelines to be incorporated into on-farm programs, for on-farm programs to be developed, and for them to be embraced and adopted throughout the dairy industry. How is it funded? How's the work being done? Most of the work has been completed by leader volunteers. They've attended the development meetings at their own cost. You can see the sponsors over there on the wall over on the side that have helped provide financial assistance to help us get to where we are today. There is still significant work that needs to be done in terms of raising producer awareness, getting the dairy chain aware of what's going on, and additional communication activities. You can see the list of organizations that have endorsed it to date, and again, that list is available on the website with other information. What I want to do now is provide a little bit of context about where the principles and guidelines fit in a continuous improvement process. People have asked the question, okay, does this mean we're done? Actually, the adoption of the final principles and guidelines is the start, not the finish. Today, the principles and guidelines, the well-being principles and guidelines, are being released publicly. They have already been approved by the co-chairs of the National Dairy Animal Well-Being Coalition. The goal then will be for those principles and guidelines to be implemented in on-farm programs. That goal will be accomplished when producers and others begin to examine programs and get them implemented on farms. Excuse me. That's followed by producer awareness and implementing education programs. We have to make sure producers are aware of what's in the program and what the requirements are so they can be successful. Those programs are then implemented on farm. There's an internal assessment, third-party verification, and then again, if there are changes, we go back to the principles and guidelines. Any questions about that? Okay, with that, I'm going to introduce Logan Bauer, a producer from Pennsylvania. Logan?
Thank you, Charlie. Before I begin, I want to say thank you to the folks at PDPW and my fellow producers and Charlie and his staff. I've been involved with this initiative since it started about 3 years ago. I was at the Manager's Academy in which this idea was conceived. At that particular academy, we thought it was an issue that was going to be of great concern in the near future, and that was 3 years ago. And I like to think of it as Shelley once said in conversation, at the time whenever we had this vision, the wolf was nowhere to be seen. But today, in 3 short years and basically in a year, the wolf is now in the house. And as producer, I just would like to share with you, you know, my concerns and the concerns of the producers, why we feel that this program is of great concern to our fellow producers. Myself, personally, was born and raised on a dairy farm. And it's all I ever wanted to do in my life was be a dairy farmer. I spent 4 years at Penn State, returned home to the farm, and have been dairy farming for about 25, 26 years now. And I guess, you know, every day of my life I've spent trying to be better, trying to figure out a better way, trying to figure out how to care for my animals. But our society is changing, and all of a sudden you have people that really don't understand what we do and why we do, starting to tell us that no, you can't do that, or no, that's not right. And it really hurts because you've spent so much time and so much effort trying to figure out the best for these animals. And that is one of the reasons that I became very involved with this initiative. You know, as a producer, we're very concerned about, we want to control our own destination. We did not want somebody else who doesn't understand our business creating more rules and regulations and telling us how to do things. This initiative was started with producers in mind. We wanted to drive this initiative so that we had a seat at the table, so that we could control our destiny, so that we could maintain our market access, and so that we could continue the confidence in our food supply. Because as we all know, the past year, there's been a lot of questions about the safety and how our animals are controlled. Unfortunately, you take 0.5%. We're not perfect, although we try to do the best we can things don't always work out, and unfortunately, the 0.5% or 0.25% of the times when things don't work, those are the things that get shown in the public's eye. But this initiative was started so that we, as producers, could say, you know, this is how we do it. We are very concerned about the confidence in our food supply. We do spend the majority of our time being care for our animals and making sure that they have the best possible conditions that they could have. I guess with that, I'd like to say, in Pennsylvania, we also saw about 3-4 months ago, we saw the need or the importance of this type of program, and we actually took a risk, we took initiative, and we took the dairy beef quality program, which was basically a lot of people think was a beef program, an injection program, a meat quality program, but some of us producers and dairy organizations got together in Pennsylvania and realized that this program could possibly fall under the umbrella of the National Dairy Animal Wellbeing Initiative's principles and guidelines. And like I said, there was 4 or 5 groups of us got together, dairy groups, producers, once again, stakeholders within the industry, and we basically took that manual and revised it, quote unquote. We made it more dairy friendly because it has a conception of being a deep beef program. But like I said, before we started, we realized that it was very close to coming underneath these principles and guidelines. And in about 3 short months, we actually came up with a manual that we hope that will qualify under this this program. And to take that one step further, I guess in 2 weeks from today, we'll be having a training on my farm. It'll be the first training for this program under the new manual. They've had the dairy beef quality program in Pennsylvania for 5 years, but unfortunately, I think they have like 2,000 beef producers that are certified, but only like 200 dairy producers, because it's the myth that it's a beef program. But with the events that have happened in the past year, we're hoping that we can drive this program and make it more accessible and have more producers certified. I mean, what we need to have is, we want that stamp on our products. We want to maintain the public assurance that we have a quality product and that we do care for our animals and our livestock. It's, you know, it's very unfortunate that our society has become very affluent and they can now dictate how their food is produced. And we believe that we have been doing a very high quality job for years, and we don't want that to be compromised. And with a program like this, we feel that we can put a stamp on our product and maintain that confidence in our product and with consumers.